Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hi, and welcome back. We're so glad that you decided to join us here today. And I'm Hope, of course, and John is here.
I'm John, of course.
Of course. Didn't change your name since the last time.
Nope.
And we do have a special guest here today that I'm so excited. This is Sire. Sire, say hey.
Hi, I'm Sire, of course.
He's got it.
Everybody's got the of course.
Of course. I mean, the Sire, you know, you're not going to be another Sire. So
that's true. That's true. We're super happy to have Sire here. He's a very, very amazing guy. I'm sure he's going to turn red as I'm talking about him, but he is a very amazing guy. He's a really good friend of our family. Each and every one of us, actually, different reasons just for in between church and everything else. But he's just a really good guy, loves God and hears from the Holy Spirit. And he just has been an amazing addition to our family and to our church. He is the youth pastor at our church. And we're just really excited to have him, as I would consider him a part of our family, if he would be willing to.
Oh yeah, I'm adopted. I am adopted into this family. I am now an Ellsworth, an honorary Ellsworth.
There you go.
I hope I am. And I'm super excited to be here.
Yay!
I just hope that being adopted, he's not hoping that he's going to get like extra like health benefits or something.
No, but I did put you down as my emergency contact.
All right,
so
yeah.
that's where that's as far as it goes.
Okay.
So we will be there for you.
Absolutely.
Thanks. I'll be there. Oh, sorry. Can't do that. We'll probably get in trouble. Anyways. So let's get to know Sire a little bit more. I have some questions, just some fun questions.
Okay.
First one, if you were an animal, what animal would you be?
I would definitely be a panther.
Okay.
I'd definitely be a panther. Just because I love the color black. I mean, I feel like I wear it all the time. Everyone knows me. I'm always wearing something that's black. But I've also, like, people have told me, like, my personality is very much like a cat,
okay,
which is very interesting because I'm a dog person.
Yeah.
I also do like cats, so I don't know. I feel like a panther would be it.
Yeah, kind of like quiet.
Quiet.
But, like, ready to pounce when you need to.
Yes. Definitely hunting all the time.
I was thinking you're going to be more like Wakanda Forever.
You know, honestly, I probably would do that too. If you give me a Black Panther outfit, I definitely will walk around in that all day.
Nice.
Maybe not outside. It's a little warm.
Oh, I'm a panther. I can run and climb trees.
Ooh.
Like Spider-Man, but better.
I love it.
Trees like Spider-Man.
Yeah, but
that's
better.
Awesome. But better.
I can run faster than a spider.
True.
Yeah, a panther probably is faster than a spider, maybe. I don't know. Haven't thought about if they raced.
Well, I mean,
when you think about the difference in size, it's all about, you know,
true.
The relation to, you know, I mean, how fast the tiny little spider's running, it's like in his world, he's like, I'm running so fast, you know, because
that's how
spiders talk.
Yeah. I mean, I can't shoot webs, but I can run fast, so.
There you go.
There you
that
go.
That works.
Catch up.
Okay, we're going to go down a list of favorites.
Okay.
So feel free to just answer one answer or you can expand, whichever. Okay. So what's your favorite color?
Red.
Red?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, red is my favorite color.
I like that. It goes well with black.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I know I just said I like black, but red is definitely my favorite color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. How about favorite animal?
Favorite animal? I'd probably go back to the panther.
Okay.
Yeah. Panther or any type of, honestly, like tiger, lion, any big cat.
So. Besides your dog.
Besides my dog.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's number one. He sits on the throne.
Okay. Yeah.
He's
besides precious. It, that's a given. I mean, so it's anybody, you know, an animal besides him.
Yeah. I mean, anyone can say whatever they want, but he is the best dog ever. So that's a fact.
Yeah.
It's not an opinion, it's a fact.
There you go. There you go.
There's that.
And he is a pretty cool dog.
He is.
We did meet him. So
he is quite the little character.
Yes.
How about favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I can't really think of a favorite movie, but I do have one that like is just close to my heart. It's Nacho Libre.
Okay.
And it is a funny one that I can quote over and over again. And it just reminds me of my brother. So we get to kind of, we will always like quote it. Even now, like we'll text each other and he'll send me something ridiculous from Nacho Libre and we just laugh about it. And so Nacho Libre is one that definitely like is just close to my heart.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. How about favorite board game?
Favorite board game. I would definitely probably say Clue, if not Sorry. Well, any game that I can win and I will win is my favorite game.
So any game.
Any game, as long as I can win.
It's funny, too, because you said Clue or Sorry. Those are very different
Very different.
Very different games. Because I just think about, like, you know, the ones that I've recently won. And those
because
are
I win.
Because I win. I like to win. But if there's games, like, for example, if you play me in chess, I'm going to lose. So it's not my favorite game.
Gotcha.
I'm definitely a sore loser. I definitely would get upset and be like, ah, oh, well, you know, I'm one of those who in any game, whether I'm winning or losing, I will still like talk a big game. Like I would still try to be like, well, I'm still better. Right. Cause like my toe was better. I don't know. Something ridiculous. So any game.
That's how you lose.
Yeah. I'll lose. And then I'll still say, well, like the cloud is white. So it's
everything's
fluffy.
Good.
Yeah, like and like that's gonna offend somebody, you know. The right. Sky is blue.
Right. Right. All right. How about favorite sport to watch?
Favorite sport to watch. I want to say it's funny because recently it's been baseball. Hmm. I've always loved baseball. I love playing baseball, but they recently, like I think within the last year or two, last two seasons, they've changed a rule that has helped baseball become a quicker sport. Mm-hmm. And they've added like time limits on things. And so back then, baseball didn't have a lot of time limits. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, the it game
took a lot longer.
Took forever. Mm-hmm. And they took so many timeouts and breaks and things. And so now the sport is a lot faster. And I can actually sit there and enjoy watching a baseball game.
That's interesting because I don't watch sports.
Yeah.
But I can relate to that whole, oh my goodness, is this ever going to end?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know that
I've ever sat through an entire baseball game. I definitely have not watched them on TV.
No.
But even in person, like I've been to a lot of baseball games, but I'm usually like seventh inning stretch, bye.
Yep. Yeah, they've gone a lot faster. I haven't been to one just yet, but I would like to go to one and see how it is. I mean, the baseball games back then would last, I feel like, I don't know.
Days.
4 or 5 hours, right? Like it's forever now. They last like 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
So they cut down the time in between like each pitch and every break. And so it's been, I enjoy watching it now simply because it is faster. So
I'll say that's very interesting.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense though. It's like, okay, let's get on the ball. Stop taking, you know, timeouts and stuff. Yeah. How about your favorite sport to play?
Baseball.
Yeah.
It has to be baseball. I mean, I love playing like any sports I could, but baseball is just the one. So
is that because you grew up doing that or it was your favorite, so that's why you grew up doing it?
So like I definitely grew up doing it. I think it's another thing where it's like, you know, you do have fun like being good at things. Mm-hmm. So if you're good at something, you're like, oh, this is my favorite,
you like it.
Yeah, I'm like I'm good at it, right? But
you're winning.
It definitely is always, even there's moments where even then, like I when I wasn't feeling the best, right, or like, you know, I realized like, okay, I'm not really doing great, it was still like, I don't know, something nostalgic about like going out to the field and smelling the wet grass and seeing the clay on the floor is like something that's super fun about putting the glove on. It's just, I don't know, it just kind of brings back good memories. And I'm like, yeah. I really do enjoy playing baseball. So maybe that. I wish baseball was more of a sport where like you can play kind of by yourself, because like basketball, you can grab a basketball and go in a hoop, right? Or you can grab a soccer ball and kick it into a goal, right? Mm-hmm. But like baseball, you can't do anything without somebody else.
Yeah, unless you play like t-ball.
Unless you play t-ball, but you hit the ball and then who's gonna get it?
You're always gonna get a home run.
Yeah, you're always gonna get a home run, right?
That's right. No one's gonna catch it.
So it is a
yeah, team sport.
More of a team sport. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Never thought about that. Maybe they should come up with that. Like a single player baseball game.
Yeah, they just have video
It's called
games.
Video game.
Yeah. Video games.
Okay, how about your favorite book of the Bible?
Favorite book of the Bible. I would definitely probably say Job. Has always been a good one. I mean, just the story of Job, I can lean on that one a lot. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times in my life, I guess, like, either you can go back and look at Job and go, okay, well, at least my life is not that bad. Right? It's not that bad, right? Or you can go back and you know, through kind of, I don't know, the expressions of everything that he kind of also shared. Also, it's one of the, you know, the poetic books, right? And so even how God explains himself, right? Mm-hmm. And just describing how he has created everything and where he's at and his stance, mm-hmm. even his correction to Job when he says, you know, stand tall and face it like a man, like things like that. Throughout my life, I feel like I've had to run back to Job. Mm. And so Job is just one of those stories, one of those people in the Bible that I just keep going back to. So if I were to pick one, it would probably be Job.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool.
You don't usually hear that.
No.
You know, asking me for the favorite book of the Bible. It's like John. You know, something like that.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Psalms or, yeah. You don't usually hear that because when people think about Job, they think suffering. Yeah. So it's like,
But there's also like the promise of like, you know, like at the end, right? There's also, I think one of the biggest things from Job that I've received from it is that there's still hope.
Yeah.
But we also still have to be faithful. And so one of the biggest things that I still also lean on, even now, like I can sit here and I talk about it and I can start like literally tearing up, is when literally after all the information that he was just given, right? All the servants came and told him that, you know, the house came down, the wind blew the house down and on your kids and, you know, all your animals got killed and taken and all that. Like after everything, the first thing it says that happened is he got down on his knees, he ripped his clothes and he started worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
And that to me is like, man, no matter what we're going through, nothing can stop us from worshiping the Lord. And just being faithful to what he's doing. And even after, when his wife came over and was like, you know, curse God and die. And he looked at her and said, you are a foolish woman, right?
Mm.
And he continued to honor and worship and be on his knees before the Lord. So I don't know. That's just something that hits me. And it's always a good reminder.
Yeah, that's a really good word. We definitely should run to that even when there's nothing else.
Yeah.
There's always him and that's all we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good word. Didn't know you were going to start preaching. That was good.
I'm just sharing.
Just being you.
Just sharing.
Let's see. How about your favorite Bible character besides Job? We've established that.
Okay.
But your favorite Bible character, and usually I say besides Jesus, because I think that's like a given, like your favorite is your dog, you know, but so.
Favorite Bible character? Mm-hmm. That's a tough one, because I feel like I want to like go straight to like David, right?
Mm.
But I feel like I also kind of sway away from David because of I don't know if I can say I have one, because I'm stuck between like David and like Paul.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's really just based on relations, like things you can relate to them mm-hmm. for.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I don't know. I want to say those two, David and Paul.
That works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely huge qualities for both.
Yeah.
I always admired Paul a lot, because a lot of times people looked at him as like the enemy, which yes, at first he was, you know, putting Christians in jail and everything, but he thought he was serving God. He thought he was doing what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
He's 100%. Like he's 100% all in. But then when Jesus, you know, gave him this revelation, like, hey, no, this is the way. And then he went 100%.
Yeah.
So like I always admired him because he was always 100% guy, like all in, you know.
And that's the thing, is that I think that like if I was going based on story, like I think that's the reason why I like them the most too, is because of their story.
Mm.
Right. And I do love the stories that, like, I don't know, I like to relate the stories in different ways. And so I see like David with like King Saul, like I can easily sit here and I'm like, I put it together with like Star Wars, you know, like mm-hmm. I see it how like Anakin was with Obi-Wan and that situation, yeah. right? And Samuel's in there and he's Obi-Wan. Like I put it all together. And then the same thing with Paul, like I don't know. I think about even my own story,
mm-hmm.
right? Where like I wasn't going to church and I wasn't like, I didn't grow up going to church mm-hmm. and hearing about God. And, you know, and I wasn't always the best kid. And so getting in trouble often and not having great relationships with people, from being that type of person, right, and getting kicked out of schools and stuff to then switching over and going, no, like I know the Lord, right? And now I want to love on people rather than just, you know, bash them and come against them. And I don't know. I guess, again, it depends on where you can relate.
How you connect with them. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and go into that. You kind of mentioned a little bit of your story.
Yeah.
You want to just share, expand on that, like how you came to know Christ?
My parents didn't really raise us in church. Both my parents have a really rough history with like the church that they were in, the organizations that they were part of. And so growing up, my parents really gave us like options and different areas where we can kind of learn whatever we wanted to. So I think my brother was an atheist. And I don't know what my parents really believed in at the time. But it was just a rough childhood in the sense that like, you know, my dad was really kind of, just kind of rough with us, right? Physically. And he, you know, a lot of comparison and beating me down on different things. And, some would say it was like verbally abusive and physically abusive. And those are just things that we went through at home where it was, you know, I'm a broken family, but it was really tough being home.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, I've had plenty of times where I've gotten hurt because of these situations. My older brother would always try to protect me, always try to be around me. And then we moved down to Florida because like I was in the hospital and, you know, the doctors were saying that I was, allergic to the cold, right. Which was super weird. And there was some other opportunities that they were thinking that we can do and have down here in Florida. So we moved down to Florida to, you know, to have a better life for me, but I was still a bad kid. And I took a lot of the rage and aggression that my dad had and I used it in school. And so I'd get into fights. I would, hurt some kids and I got pulled out of schools. I think I went through like 7 preschools and then I got moved from elementary schools.
Wow.
It was just, they didn't know what to do with me. Right.
Yeah. It's completely understandable. Cause if that's all you know, that's all you know.
Yeah. That's all I knew. And so, when we came down to Florida, at some point further down the line, while still playing baseball and while playing sports and doing all these things, my dad, actually walks out on me, my mom, my brother. And I was like either 13 or 14 years old. I was just finishing 8th grade. So it was around that age. He left and that was a huge pivoting point for me because my mom fell into this big depression. And then my brother was going to UCF and he was doing a bunch of stuff that, you know, he's 8 years older. So imagine that, 13, 14, he's going to college. He's living his best life. So I was really just kind of by myself a lot. And I had a lot of friends that weren't great influences for me. And I was doing a bunch of stuff I wasn't supposed to. I don't know how in depth I had to go into that, but it took one friend, took one friend who kept inviting me to church. And I went once with the high school baseball team and they did an invite night where they brought me to, or they brought like the whole baseball team to come out to church in a service. And they celebrate our school, which I thought was really cool. And we did like a home run derby and it was really cool. But I went once and I was like, it's whatever. And then my friend kept inviting me. And finally I would go, but I was still going for the wrong reasons, right? Mm. Like I didn't really care to know who God was. Mm. I was really going to look for wrong people. And so essentially it was just one day I believe it was an angel of the Lord because I still can't recall nor remember. None of us can, who approached us, but somebody approached us. It was like some adult and they were telling us that there was like this big party that's happening at the beach and they're going to have a big concert and there's gonna be a lot of people there and it's gonna be awesome, right? And this was at the church. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So like I went to one of my best friends at the time, still to this day, one of my close friends. And I was like, hey man, I was like, there's gonna be a bunch of girls at the beach and you know,
and it's at the beach.
It's at the beach for a whole weekend and it's only like 100. I mean, back then it was cheaper, but it was like only like $120, like, you know, like let's go do it. And they're like, yeah, yeah, cool. So we got the money together. I don't know. I think we're like 15, so I don't know how we got money together, but somehow we got the money together and we went. Little did I know, the one thing I didn't know actually was that it was a youth retreat and they had services every night and that was a concert And yeah, we all were at the beach, but everyone, modesty was hottesty, you know, like everyone was modest.
And, I love that.
And, you know, we did have a great time. And I remember, I think it was the second night that I gave my life to Christ. I responded to the altar call. Wow. I still remember what the theme was, and it was wonder, right? Mm. And it was like, I remember the songs were, "May We Never Lose Our Wonder." Mm-hmm. And we were singing that to the Lord, and it's like just how much God loves us, right? And just wow. like, when, I don't know, a lot of the relations was just, you know, based on the galaxy. Like if he can create all these things, yeah. right? How much more intentional he is with us, mm. and how much more he loves us. And I remember responding to that altar going, you know what, I need the Lord, right? Mm. I was broken. I, you know, I've had so much anger and so much stuff going on with my relationship with my dad. Yeah. You know, he just left the picture. I had a lot going on at home, and I was like, I was running to other things and other friends and stuff, and seeking love in other mm-hmm. areas that was not for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And I realized that I needed the Lord. And from that point on, like, I gave my life to God, and already the Lord was like moving me, because I had friends who were like, man, I don't know if this Jesus thing is for me. And I was like, listen, I got saved like yesterday, but I'm pretty sure, like, if you follow God, the yeah. rest is under control. I had no idea what I was talking about. I had no idea what I was talking about. But I was like, I'm pretty sure.
It's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you were right.
Yeah. Looking back, I was like, wow. All right. Right.
Holy Spirit is already using you.
Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. And so, yeah, at that point, I gave my life to the Lord, and I went back home, and I said, things have to change. Of course, it wasn't easy. The enemy attacked literally at, like, the next day.
Yeah.
Because I happened to meet a girl on the next day after I gave my life. And it was all downhill from there. You know, and she was not going to church for the right reasons either. But at some point, I think a very pivotal moment in my story I always share is, like, I was doing... After I gave my life, the church was doing these like classes on Sunday mornings to help us grow in our relationship, right? It's like, okay, mm-hmm. here's the next steps, essentially.
Like discipleship type.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. So it was like, this is how you read your Bible. This is how you mm-hmm. pray and things like that. And I remember I was like spending time. I was like, I know I saw it in movies. So what I would do is I would get on my knees and I would pray on my bed with my hands together. And,
yeah.
And I thought like, okay, this is how you're supposed to pray. And I would do that for a while. And every day we had to pray. And at some point, the Lord met me in my room while I was on my knees. And he told me, he's like, this is not what I have for you. Right.
Yeah.
And I felt like the conviction of the Holy Spirit right then and there. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, okay, this is what it is. Okay. All right. Like, I was like, all right, I got to be obedient. Then I had no idea what it was to even be obedient, but I knew I had to be obedient.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, I think it was like, we had a fall festival at the church, and I went straight to that girl. And I was like, the Lord told me no. Like yeah. that was it. And she yeah. was upset, but I was like, I can't explain it. The Lord said no, and I need to do this.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I'm like, I don't know, like I look back and it was just, I always walked like I had no idea what I was doing, but I also knew that the peace of the Lord was with me.
Yeah.
Looking back, I'm like, no, I had so much peace in doing this that I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have peace. Mm. And so from that point on, I don't know how much more of the story.
No,
but,
whatever you want to share.
Yeah, from that point on, could kind of fast forward this part, is that I finished a class. We joined like student leadership. I did like a summer internship for the young adults ministry, where I was serving in the young adults ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, I started serving in the middle school ministry. And then after high school, I ended up hurting myself in baseball, which it was a season where I was really angry with the Lord, mm-hmm. because I thought like baseball is my future, right? Mm. And I was getting like scholarship opportunities and things like that, and I felt like the Lord really shifted everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, if this was what was for me, why would you take this away, right? Mm. And so it was a really hard moment, but the doors opened up for me to go into this ministry program with SEU,
mm-hmm.
and I say, you know what, they're the only ones accepting me right now. Like, if this is the only thing that
this
I have,
is the way.
This is the way, right? It was hard. Like, I definitely spent a lot of time crying and angry with mm-hmm. God, but I was still faithful, right? I still trusted that he still had a plan. And
it's really nice to know that he can handle our anger.
Yeah,
right.
Right, like you can yeah. be raw and real with mm-hmm. the Lord, right, and have those moments. And it's funny because in my neighborhood there was a road that was like they built a road, but there was still construction all around, and nobody mm-hmm. like nothing was on the road, but nothing was also fenced in or out. It was just open,
mm-hmm.
and it was super dark. And it was like, I specifically remember late nights when I was really going through it, I would go to Publix mm-hmm. and get a tub of ice cream, and then I would sit in the middle of that road on mm-hmm. the curb, and I would cry my eyes out while eating that ice cream, knowing like everything I've planned for my future to be in baseball. Like my whole life was baseball.
Yeah.
And then when scholarships started coming in, I was like, this is going to be it. This is my life. So for everything to flip after one injury and they tell me like, I don't know if this is going to continue with this. I was going through it. It was so hard. So it's plenty of times I spent on that road crying my eyes out. But yeah, I did the program. I got accepted into the program. Did the program. It was a 2-year program, ministry program, through SCU, getting my AA through, I think it was ministerial leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I was, you know, I was trying to seek like wherever the Lord had me, and every door was closing on me. And I remember my pastor kind of, I was on a mission trip, and I was sitting down with, you know, my best friend, Dean, and my pastor, and they was there, and they were like, give me one more year. And I was able to come back, kind of work on staff there through like 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, a lot of things happened. And I ended up doing children's ministry later down the line, just volunteering and then getting hired on. And it's been quite an adventure since then. The Lord likes to keep me on my toes.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Gives you a nice rounded, the different ages.
Yeah. So dabble in every age group. And I also was able to work in a couple of different ministries that were based on like drug addiction. Mm-hmm. And specifically the areas I was working on was divorce care and anger management, which are two areas that like I had plenty of experience in.
Right.
And I was able to minister and do these classes for and they're amazing opportunities that I get to look back and go, wow, like this is this is really God kind of opening doors for me to learn and grow, because now that I'm working with youth a lot more than I was before, I have these resources. I have these things that I got to learn. I got to see, I look back and see how, God wrote my story, right? Yeah. And put me exactly where I'm at today.
Right.
And if anything, when you reflect and you get to look back on everything that God has done and how he's been faithful through all the seasons, right?
Yeah.
Highs and lows.
Yeah.
I feel like it encourages you more. Right? Mm-hmm. It builds up your faith to go, God, I can't wait for what's next, right? Whether it seems good or it seems bad, it's high, low, left, right, whatever it looks like. I can't wait for what's next because I'm doing it with you. So
that's awesome.
That's been, that's been a huge thing. And the last thing I was going to throw in there was that, today it's funny. Yesterday I had lunch with my friend who's inviting me to church, and I get to still have these relationships with them. My best friend who was by my side when I gave my life to Christ, we definitely disconnected for a while. But at some point we reconnected, and it was super awesome because now I feel like he has his own relationship with the Lord. They go to church, they're serving, and they love God. And it's awesome to look back and see all that. Like my whole family, like my mom, my dad, and my brother all like are believers now. Mm-hmm. They're all on their own walk with the Lord, but they're reading their Bible. They're doing That's devotions. Awesome. They're we're having conversations, right?
Yeah.
And I see it as a huge win because back then that wasn't the case, right?
Yeah.
And so now we're in a whole different place.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see my father in a whole different way. At some point he came back.
Yeah.
Some point he came back. We have a much better relationship now than ever before.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
The Lord really grew in forgiveness and helped me figure out what that was, right? And so, it's a huge testimony. It's a huge thing that I get to celebrate and say, today, like my family knows the Lord, right? And the Lord had met them where they're at. I connected with my old friends, right? And, they all love God, and like, it's just amazing, right? And so,
that's awesome. That's awesome. Whenever you were talking about crying, sitting on that road, and
I cry so much.
But I mean, it's understandable. No. I mean, when we really believe that our lives are going in a certain direction, and it seems like all arrows are pointing this way, and it makes sense, right? It made sense because you're really good at it, and you're getting scholarships, and this, and all those things are good. It doesn't mean that other people who have it and end up going down that road is a wrong thing. It's just for you, it was different.
Yeah.
But we can be in those places where we think that this is exactly where we're going, and so we picture it and we see it and we think we have it all, or at least a good part of it, planned out and figured out. And then it's like huge U-turn, and when you were explaining that story, I was picturing it, and I could picture God just right there with you, just with his arm around you, just being patient and letting you work through it, because he knew you had to work through it.
Yeah.
You know, he knew that you cried out, dude. I get it. It's completely different now, but it's going to be so much better, no. You know? And at that time, you probably couldn't see that. You didn't believe it, because it was just like, you probably felt like your whole life was falling apart, because if it's not this, then what is it?
And it's funny, because like, that's like, those are moments that I look back and I remember going back to Job every time. Mm. Right. And it's crazy. I can sit here and talk about like every season that I've gone through where I felt that way. Right. It was like another moment where I'm like, okay, God, we're doing this again. Like, you know, like, oh, I thought I just had
I need
it,
some
know?
Ice cream.
Yeah. It's like, I thought we just got settled. Yeah. You know, I thought we were where we're at. Because there was a time, where the church was going through even transitions, even mm-hmm. after I was part of the staff and I was able to help out and things like that. Like, there was transitions that happened and nothing worked out how we were planning. Mm. And, we've got a little hurt, and it was moments where I feel like, you know, I was going right back to the same moment I was when I couldn't play baseball or, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I was like, God, like I'm back here again, right? Where we're back, you're back in on my knees trying to figure it out. But I think about Job every time, loses everything that, you know, mm-hmm. he had planned and he had together. And the first thing he does is rip his clothes and mm-hmm. get on the floor. If he has nothing left, he at least has his worship.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He at least has his praise, and he at least has the voice that the Lord has given him, right? The breath in his lungs, so that he can at least still praise God. Mm. And so that's where I'm always running back to when I'm in my low seasons, where I'm like, God, I'm going right back to you. Right. Because if there's nothing else I have you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's a really good word. That's amazing testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah. God's so good.
Praise God.
Yeah, he's so good. So you kind of referenced a place that you were at before where you had a lot of that education and you had opportunities to do ministry and such. And that was a pretty large church.
Yeah.
Right. And then a little over a year ago, God brought you to our church.
Yep.
Which is a nice, smaller church. We're growing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're probably like average 115, 120-ish, something like that. And so it's quite a bit different, right? I mean, what would you say, like, ministering there and ministering at our church, like, kind of the differences that you've experienced?
Yeah, there definitely is a good chunk of differences. I know when I first came in with, like, the idea that everything I did at the big church was going to work for, you know, our church, right? Mm-hmm. And that was not the case. That was not the case. I had to learn that pretty quick. And a few things that were very different was, like, one, at least in the church that I come from, a lot of conversations and a lot of focuses, a lot of things that we focused on were like numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And because you're working with such big numbers and you have such a big facility, right? It's like, okay, we have, you know, let's say we have 3,000 seats. How are we going to fill the 3,000 seats? And mm-hmm. how many people did we have come in, right? We do a lot mm-hmm. of registrations to kind of calculate how much numbers we're having here and there, which is, you know, what we do at the church too. We have a big events, mm-hmm. but I think I came in so focused on numbers that I was like, all right, we have 8 kids in youth ministry. We're going to grow that to like
3,000.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to have at least 60, right? Like,
well, you have doubled it at least.
We've been a consistent anywhere between like 17 to 20. And which has been awesome. I think actually 20 should be like our limit, because when we have 20 kids in there, it's pretty crowded. It feels crowded.
Yeah.
And so, which is awesome.
It's only because they're very active.
Yeah. So like playing dodgeball, it's easy if you do like 6-on-6, right? We have 12 kids, 6-on-6 is fine. But then when you have 10-on-10 and we don't
have
the space,
you're definitely hitting
it,
somebody every single time.
Oh yeah.
And but then, you need to do outside dodgeball.
Yeah. But then the balls run out and we have to run and grab
them. They go really far.
It's an exercise program.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Have a nice little workout. You know, but yeah, there are definitely some differences. I want to say one of my favorite things about the smaller church is the intentionality. Mm. And I was blessed enough to have, you know, amazing men of God in my life to take me in. And start off with Dean. He is like my spiritual big brother. He was a start to kind of take me in and like disciple me, right? Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what that was, but he like started it off and he was like, all right, we're gonna do this. And we had an amazing team, and you know, we all loved each other, all poured into each other. And then Pastor Michael also came in. He was like a dad for us, right? Especially mm-hmm. for us who didn't have dads, right? Like, it was like he was like our dad. But like, they were intentional. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I think in life in general is craving that intentionality. Mm-hmm. Someone who can sit down with you and have lunch with you and yes. and get to know you, right?
Yeah.
And talk like how we're doing now.
Right.
That's one thing I see more in a smaller church mm-hmm. than a larger church, yeah. right? Because you can easily get lost in a crowd. Mm-hmm. And if you're not part of, you know, the groups and mm-hmm. the different kind of like cliques and stuff.
Or life groups.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and, or like, because I know over there, they would have like a volleyball life group. But mm-hmm. if you don't play volleyball, right? Like, it's easy to kind of be like kind of pushed it aside.
Right.
Right. Because like, maybe you're not as good as the other ones. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I do see a big difference in. Mm-hmm. But you know, no church is perfect. No, and every church is learning, every church is mm-hmm. growing. You know, we are full of imperfect people serving yes. a perfect God. And that's where we extend grace and all mm-hmm. that. But yeah, it's definitely been a big difference. I'm also used to working with teams. Mm-hmm. And we have a pretty awesome team at the church. But like over there, there's like 4 youth pastors and then there's like, you know, like 5 other assistants. And then
right.
basically the whole youth ministry, I think there's like 16 of them on staff. So, you know, you work on, and then on top of that, you have like 60 interns for each individual wow. part of the youth ministry. So wow. there's middle school ministry, high school, like, so, you know, with like 10 interns, you know, and then a pastor and then a coordinator and like, there's a whole team essentially working just for one part of the ministry.
Right.
Versus now one of the biggest challenges is like, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, well, I'm in charge of all this. And I look in the mirror and go, hey, sire, what do you think about this? Well, sire, this is a great idea.
At least you're always agreeing with
me. Yeah. You know,
everybody agrees.
Well, I might disagree. Like, sire, what about this idea? And turn to myself and go, I don't think you should do that. Yeah, you're right. Like, you know, just different things like that.
Let's talk this out.
So that's definitely been a big learning experience. Not really having like an individual team for the ministry, mm-hmm. right? But
well, even when you talk about the team for the church, 50% of the team is sitting in this room right now.
I know, yeah.
So,
no, yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm like, you know, like it's, but we all, it's, it, you know, it's just, it was very different.
Yeah.
Right. It's very different. And even on that end, like on a Wednesday night, you know, it does take a pretty big team because Wednesday night they would have like, I think like, I don't know, 500 kids.
Wow.
Right. And so having a Wednesday night with like 500 kids average.
Yeah.
Some nights are more, some nights are not. Or when you have all the youth ministry come together and you're having over 1,000 people yeah. in the room. You do need a pretty solid team
yeah,
for that.
For
right.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It kind of makes sense. I think it was a little bit newer for me, to go from a big church like that
yeah.
to then, okay, now we got to figure out what works for, you know, a smaller church.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope that kind of answers some of the questions.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was great. Cause I mean, I can see that. I've never ministered in a church that large.
Yeah.
God's never brought us to a church that large. So I can only imagine that it would be quite the culture shock to go from all of that, you know, but I mean, my heart probably would be in the smaller church. I mean, I've been to, you know, probably 300 to 500, like
yeah.
as the whole church, you know, so somewhat larger, but not that big, not thousands and thousands of people. So I like the more intimate settings, you know, yeah. which is why you would need to have so many groups so that, you know, you can do that discipleship and you can do a little bit more. I can't say one-on-one, but you know,
yeah.
but that is good that you were able to experience that there were people who, you know, they must have had a pretty good setup to where you felt like you had a close-knit group
yeah.
that, you know, helped, you know, support you and encourage you and disciple you and yeah. in such a large church. That's a good thing.
And I know one of the other challenges that you face now that you didn't before is, you know, big churches have big church budget.
Yes.
And so the events and things that you can invest in are the yeah. things that sometimes, you know, they be purchasing and he's like, yeah, we just spent like $10,000 over here. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. You know, and so that was one of the biggest differences is that even in a big church, I was working in the last couple of years, I was working in the smaller campus, which is very similar to our campus, like our church now.
Gotcha.
But the difference was that, like, we had, you know, a smaller campus, but it still had big church, like, budget, right? And so I know that's one of the things.
They still were connected. They could just dip into that.
Yeah, so it was like, hey.
Access to resources and stuff.
Yeah, all the resources and everything that they had was definitely different. So I'll come in here, I'm like, hey, so, you know, I was like, we don't have this. And they're like, no. I was like, okay, yep, we got to. I gotta remember, this is not where I come from. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, the one thing that I can say is that I'm not saying that the youth probably wouldn't like to have certain things.
Yeah.
But I will say that you have come in and you have been very intentional in building relationship with all of the kids. And as a teacher and having our own kids, I know with kids, students, you know, I mean, it's probably for anybody, but with students, with children, they just want you.
No.
While all that stuff is nice, they want the relationship. They want to know that somebody cares. They want to know that they care enough to spend time and investing in preparing and then delivering and then just spending time with them and having fun with them and building that relationship. Like, those are the things that they will carry for their entire lives. Whether you could give them the coolest pair of sneakers because they won some game, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But their takeaway is going to be the relationship and how you've invested in them. So it's like, those things are great and would be nice, but what you're doing is the eternal part that they'll never walk away from.
Yeah.
You know, even if they might possibly at some point kind of sway a little bit, maybe, hopefully not, but, you know, we know it can happen. It'll bring them back, you know, because they were able to have that relationship, that example of, you know, somebody who really loved them the way that Jesus loved them.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I see that happening and it's amazing. And I'm incredibly grateful for you as a person, but also as the youth pastor having, well, I can still say two kids in there. I'd be graduated, but you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, it means a lot to me. It really does.
And I gotta say, like, you know, again, a lot of that comes also from not only something that I've learned from, again, like the I don't know, the men and women of God has been surrounding me. Like, you know, I've shared a lot of, we've traveled, we've done a lot of different things. But I've also learned a lot also from my mom in that case where we've gone through seasons where, you know, we were feeling good about where we were at, or there's seasons where we had a hard time finding a job and we had to stay at friends' houses, right? Like, we went through the ups and downs, but I remember my mom always teaching me and my brother, like, at the end of the day, like, we make the most of what we got, right? Yeah. And so even though I think about how people would compare, you know, the last church I was at, it was like, this is like Disney World, right? Compared to like all the other churches.
Right.
I'm like, even though we don't have, like you said, we don't have everything that maybe all these other places have.
Right.
We make the most of what we have, right? We make the memories of it. We make the most of every moment, every intentional time, right? Every prayer, every lesson, every game we play, every season, like trying to make the most. And that's why I also bring up a lot of my friends who they're all in Pennsylvania, but even if we have like nothing, right? We make the most of everything we do have.
Yeah.
Right? And if there's nothing else we have left, we have each other. Mm-hmm. We can encourage, we can crack jokes, we can make the most of those moments. And so, I don't know. It also, I think being in that place helps you even be thankful for all that the Lord has given, right? Because the Lord has given everything that you need.
Yeah.
And so essentially, like, sometimes comparing yourself, you'll fall into either the trap of like, oh, well, I'm not enough. Or like, oh, I'm better than them, right? Mm-hmm. And no matter what, comparison is always, I feel like, always going to put you in a bad place. So like, making the most of what you have, whatever it looks like, put you in a place of, you know, thanksgiving, put you in a place of praise and going, you know what? Praise God that we do have this. Praise God I do have, you know, a shoe. You know, praise God I do have whatever I have. Mm-hmm. And I'll make the most of all that God has given me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's that's what I try to do. Yeah. I feel like that's how
it brings you back to Job too.
Yeah, yeah. Make the most of what I got.
If all I got is air in my lungs to give him worship, that's what we're going to give him.
That's what I'm going to give him.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So, okay. So one more question.
Oh, ask. Ask away. I love questions.
Dreams for the future.
Dreams for the future.
Yeah. Either fun or like something that you would just love to do at some point, or well,
right off the back, I would love to get married at some point. That's you know, that's
it's like talking to our kids.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'd love to get married at some point. No, it's funny. Okay, just kind of on that note too, it's funny because I think it was one of the students recently asked me like where I thought I was gonna be at 25 years old. Right. And I was like, I'll tell you right now, what I planned out was not what the Lord had. I was like, I was expected to be married at this point. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have a plan, but not to like, I was trying to tell him, like, don't get discouraged. You can, right. you can have a plan, but don't have your plan over what the Lord has for you. Mm-hmm. You always want to be obedient and always want to obey. And that's been one of the interesting challenges, even being right now, like at 25 years old, is like, you know, God, what is next? You know, yeah. what is going to come? And I think right now, I feel like I'm pretty settled where I'm at, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord has me where I'm at. And so I'm going to make the most of where I'm at. But in the future, I always felt like the Lord had put on my heart to plant a church, and lead a church. And whatever that looks like, whenever mm-hmm. that looks like, you know, I guess I'm just waiting for, like, you know, God to say go. Right. Yeah. And I think essentially that's it. Right. Lord, you know, send me whenever you've already sent
right,
me.
Right. Right.
But that's really the only thing that, like, as of right now in my walk and in ministry, like, not my ministry, it's the Lord's ministry. And I just want to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And so if he says, hey, it's time to go, even if right. it's a location. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I sat here. I have a history. I have a history of telling God, like, I would never. Mm-hmm. Right. And every
never say never.
Single time. Every single, I sat there and I said, I would never do middle school ministry. And literally the program that I did in ministry was middle school ministry. And then on top of that, like, I came back to be part of like the internship, like, staff. Right. Yeah. I said it were like air quotes, cause I don't know what we were, but, you know, it was part of the, it was like, I was the middle school manager.
Okay.
And I was assisting, the coordinator and the pastor with, and also the interns, like, it was weird, but I remember sitting there reflecting and going, oh my gosh, I've done, like, at this point, like, 3 or 4 years of middle school ministry. And I was like, and I said, I never would. And then the same thing happened with children's ministry.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I will never do children's ministry. And they used to invite some of the middle school staff to go and, like, introduce themselves to, like, the fifth graders and stuff. And I never wanted to go. I was like, no, I'm good. Little did I know, you know, coming back after 2020, we come back out, I'm volunteering at a children's ministry, and then next thing you know, they hire me on staff, and then I'm at some point taking over, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like,
when did this happen?
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a 3 month help, right? Volunteer for 3 months, and it turned into 2 years.
You're like, okay, now I'm never gonna do ministry in Hawaii.
Yeah, I was like, listen, never. Like, Lord, at that point, I remember sitting there going, God, I'm never gonna say never at this point. I was like, if you want to send me anywhere out,
you mean
in the
that
world,
reverse psychology doesn't work with God?
Listen,
I'm gonna do the whole, like, I'm never gonna be a billionaire.
I've tried that.
doesn't work the same.
And it doesn't work the
at least
same.
Not yet.
I'm like, sometimes I'm afraid, right? Like, you don't want to sit here and be like, I'm never gonna get married, and then you're like, wait a second, I don't want that to come true. But then, like,
you're like,
it's not gonna work.
Remember what Paul said?
I know. I was like, I don't need to, right? So. No, I've learned to never say never. Mm-hmm. So if the Lord sends me out to wherever, you know,
Zimbabwe,
Russia, you know, he wants to send me to Antarctica and I'll freeze myself.
Utah.
He's like, whoa, Utah. Utah, like,
some crazy areas, you know? I have no idea, but wherever the Lord sends me, I'm, you know, I want to be obedient. And I think the biggest thing that I've also tried to also teach the kids is just having a willing heart, you know, and just being willing, right? Like, that will take you
far. He needs your yes.
Yes, he needs your yes. And I've had some old students who, man, I've seen them, you know, grow up and graduate, and they say yes, right? Mm. And it's awesome to see their yes. And I have one who I know, I just kind of posted about him the other day, but he comes out and helps us on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really just been, since the moment I met him, he's always been like, I'm here to serve, mm-hmm. and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it, right? And I'm going to trust that the people in my life are going to help me, right? And in that sense, he's been like that with the Lord, where he's like, I'm going to trust that the Lord is going to help me, whatever that looks like. So all that to say is that I don't know, but I'm going to go about it with, you know, a willing heart, mm-hmm. you know, just joyful that I get to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day I hope that, you know, it'll come soon maybe, but, I get to plant a church.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, I feel like I sit here, every time I've had conversations about that, especially with people who have planted churches before, mm-hmm. I sit there, I'm like, yeah, I'm like super excited to do that one day. And they're like, well, buckle up.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, buckle up. You're like, it's a lot.
It's a ride for sure.
But it's a good thing that you have God.
Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
I mean, and if you're waiting on him, then he will absolutely get it all done.
Yeah, I'm waiting on him. But that's the only thing that I'm looking forward to. Yeah. That and, like I said, getting married. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Super exciting.
I don't know who, but
God'll show you.
It's like usually when people say that, like, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting married. It's like they're already like engaged. You know, I'm like,
I'm planning my wedding.
If you're getting
married too, right? I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I don't know, but Lord will be done if it happens. Please, God.
He knows the desires of your heart.
Yeah,
he absolutely does. Okay, I lied. One more question.
Okay.
If you could go vacation anywhere, where would you go?
Vacation?
Mm-hmm.
I know we just had this conversation.
Or trip or vacation. Trip
or vacation, because I think there's a difference.
There is a difference. So you get to pick.
Okay. Can I do one trip and one vacation?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So a trip I would definitely want to go is Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely want to do like a Bible trip where I get mm-hmm. to see everything and go everywhere and do all that good stuff. For vacation, any of the islands are ideal. Because I wanted to sit and do nothing. And then, like, I can go to the beach and...
Yeah. Oh, he's not talking about, like, Long Island.
No.
Staten Island.
No. Anywhere down south.
You did say anywhere.
I said island. Let me tell you, I take it back. Because I also don't want to go in New York. I don't want to go anywhere out there. Like, I know I'm from there, but...
You want a beach. You're looking for a beach.
Yes. I want to... what some would call a paradise. So I would say anything... Honestly, Hawaii. I haven't been to Hawaii, so I would love to go to Hawaii like that. I've been to California. I've been to California beaches. I've been all down south and, you know, Virgin Islands. I've been to Jamaica, Puerto Rico, and Mexico, but I want to go to Hawaii. That is
the
next island I want to go to. So there's my vacation.
There you go. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. And just do nothing on the beach. Just got some lemonade and...
Lemonade and not coconut water. Don't like coconut water.
No.
But lemonade, strawberry lemonade too. Yeah. Oh, so good. So good.
Favorite drink. I didn't ask that before. So thank you for coming today.
Yeah.
We loved getting to know you better and sharing with everybody and really good, encouraging words from your experiences, and look forward to making more and more memories, and maybe we'll have you back. You can tell whole Job something maybe.
I could be back. You let me know. I'll come back right away. I like this.
Yeah, it's fun. It's awesome. Yes, well, thank you for coming. We really appreciate you for so many different reasons, but for coming and sharing your heart and encouraging. It was very encouraging. And I hope that you all out there have been encouraged today. And so whenever you feel like you've lost everything, remember Job.
Remember Job.
And worship. That's a good message. And until next time, continue believing and trusting in the one and only true God. And we will see you then.